Good morning, church. The second scripture is 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 5 to 12. And it's from the Message. So if you don't mind just listening for a minute. The king went to Gibeon, the most prestigious of the local shrines, to worship. He sacrificed 1,000 whole burnt offerings on that altar. That night, there in Gibeon, God appeared to Solomon in a dream. God said, "What can I give you? Ask." Solomon said, "You were extravagantly generous in love with David, my father, and he lived faithfully in your presence. His relationships were just and his heart right. And you have persisted in this great and generous love by giving him, and this very day, a son to sit on his throne. And now here I am. God, my God, you have made me your servant, ruler of the kingdom in place of David, my father. I'm too young for this, a mere child. I don't know the ropes, hardly know the ins and outs of this job. And here I am, set down in the middle of the people you've chosen, a great people, far too many to ever count. Here's what I want," Solomon says. "Give me a God-listening heart so I can lead your people well, discerning the difference between good and evil. For who on their own is capable of leading your glorious people?" God, the master, was delighted with Solomon's response. And God said to him, "Because you have asked for this, and haven't grasped after a long life or riches, or doom of your enemies, but you have asked for the ability to lead and govern well, I'll give you what you've asked for. I'm giving you a wise and mature heart. There's never been one like you before, and there'll be no one after. As a bonus, I'm giving you both the wealth and glory you didn't ask for. There's not a king anywhere who will come up to your mark. And if you stay on course, keeping your eye on the life map and the God signs as your father David did, I'll also give you a long life." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of the word. Let's pray. So here we are, God, your children. Some of us may sit here with more questions than answers on our heart and in our spirit. Some of us may sit here thinking about challenges and thinking about what we're going to do after this moment. Holy Spirit, give us the strength to be in this moment. To be present with you, to be present with your holy wisdom, to be present with who we are in you at this moment. Not who we are in the world, but who we are in you in this moment, so we can receive the abundance that your word always gives us. Thank you, God. Amen. Sometimes the Holy Spirit challenges us. So I'm going to say an I statement. Sometimes the Holy Spirit challenges me. Sometimes there are messages that, I sometimes go, "Really? I don't." that's how you want me to deliver it, and that's the message? But I surrender. So this message is about heaven. Not the heaven above us, but the heaven that's right here next to us. I'm not sure what has to be sold in order for us to reach that heavenly throne. But what I know right now is that us living in this here world have picked up something painful that we should have never, ever owned. I'm not sure where heaven is, but I pray it will find me. I pray that heaven will make a space for me to see the best parts of who I am. You see, I looked up different hip-hop artists just to see how they described heaven, because they are sometimes the prophets that I long to hear. And yes, I called hip-hop artists prophets. Some of them are to me. They are sometimes the prophets I long to hear. But I didn't like what they had to say about heaven, because they didn't talk about it being here. You see, they talked about heaven being a place you had to reach by the manner of your speech or belief. I don't blame them for feeling this way. I mean, even Christians, even we talk about what you cannot do and should not do just to reach this heavenly place. But what if I do all the things that look right on the outside, when deep, deep on the inside, I am fighting for my life? I wonder, does heaven, this beautiful place, accept the ugliness of this human fate? There was something else these hip-hop artists talked about. They talked about everything that's blocking heaven from being in their reach. I mean, many of us talk about this. We talk about things that have gone on in the past or something that's going on in our life right now that blocks us from reaching just a piece, peace, P-E-A-C-E, piece of that heavenly crown. Whether it's the pain in our past or the brokenness of our soul, I still wonder what has to be sold in order for us, this church, this world, to experience a little piece of heaven on earth. Because it ain't hard to tell, living in this world, we have all experienced something painful, whether it's hurt, grief, betrayal, or loss. I know I have lost myself a couple of times trying to find heaven knocking at my door. But I still wonder. Yes, I still wonder what has to be sold in order for us to reach that heavenly throne. Because living in this here world, we have all picked up something painful that we should have never, ever owned. So what should we sell? Should we sell the pain we picked up growing up in a world that steals our innocence before we have a chance to become friends with it? Should we sell our pain of yesterday just for a little self-compassion today? Should we sell the broken dreams of lost relationships or failed goals for holy breakthroughs that only God holds? It's about surrender, y'all. Or maybe we should sell the worry of the future so we can enjoy a piece of this day, so we can have peace in this day. Or maybe, just maybe, we should sell the pain of that we've received from people who have left us before they even said goodbye to us. Or maybe we should sell this idea, this theology, this notion that there must be a heaven, because right now we are living in hell. This place, is this place hell? With all its isms, racism, sexism, all its phobia, homophobia, xenophobia, this place that cares more about 280 characters than your character. Did y'all get that? Twitter. Cares more about 280 characters than your divine character. This place that judges the sick, whether emotional, physical, or mental, that judges the sick before this place even reaches out to give them a helping hand. This place, I'm challenged to say today that this place isn't hell. Hell is just what we've allowed to manifest. You know, Buddhists talk about it best. Buddhists talk a lot about manifestation. There isn't a birth or death. See, what we've allowed to happen is the continuation of the manifestation of what we know best. And for some of us, unfortunately, what we know best is the pain that beats within the heartbeat of our chest. But this place, there's an old Temptation song. And it says, I've got heaven right here on earth. Heaven right here on earth. You see, the power of heaven is here. Right here on earth, because this place is a continuation of the manifestation of the glory of God being here. But yet we seem to forget that. This place has the glory of God in it. You know, Solomon, if I had a picture of Solomon, because I learned about this portion of Solomon when I was a teenager, I think I would have put his picture on my wall next to Michael Jackson, Janet Jackson, LL Cool J. Don't judge me. But I would have. Because when I read this, I thought, God just asked you, what do you need? I don't think I would have been the pastoral person I claim to be or the human being I want to be by saying, I want holy wisdom. I don't know if I would have had the strength to respond as Solomon did. But Solomon knew that he needed the one thing the world couldn't give to him and the world couldn't take away from him. Solomon knew that he needed the one thing that had more power over his pain and over his circumstances than any degree, than any experience, than any title, than any job. Solomon knew that holy wisdom meant justice. It's not even the justice we see or seek. It's not even the process of the way we go about justice. It's a godly justice. It's a justice that goes beyond even our comprehension, our understanding. You know, every week in this church, we say, holy wisdom. But I wonder, do we get that? Or has it become words of habit? Do we get it? Holy wisdom. Holy wisdom. You know, social justice is really doing and making an incredible mark in this world. Social justice is popping up everywhere. I just wonder how many of us spend more time with the holy wisdom of God than we do with the opinions of CNN or Fox News. I wonder how many of us spend more time with the holy wisdom of God than we do with our own opinions. See, the holy wisdom of God, let me tell you a little secret about myself. I can tell when I need to spend more time with the holy wisdom of God. One clue is when people begin to irritate me. That's the truth. Because I know they aren't irritating me because of who they are. They're irritating me because of what I have not done. I can tell when I haven't spent enough time within the holy wisdom of God, when I become very fearful, when I become downright depressed. And it's almost like the Holy Spirit taps my shoulder and says, just spend time with me. And then you'll see this isn't hell, but my holy wisdom is a gateway to having heaven right here next to you. You know, this church, not this church, the church as a whole. Church as a whole is an institution. I wonder about this institution. Because this institution is built on holy wisdom, yet holy wisdom continues to move. I dare to say that holy wisdom is there while the institution of church has stayed here. But it's built on holy wisdom. The church responds more to the world than the church responds to the holy wisdom of God. The church reacts more to what's going on in the world than reacting to the heavenly things that God is doing right here on this earth. I'm almost done. I had an Old Testament teacher say, wisdom is all around you. There's wisdom in brushing your teeth. And I couldn't understand that. I said, what do you mean? And he explained to us, he said, wisdom is something you do continuously every day in your life. It becomes wisdom. He said, because wisdom guides you. Now, it could be good wisdom or bad wisdom, but wisdom guides you. He said, what you do every day becomes wisdom in your life. You get up, you brush your teeth, that becomes wisdom for your teeth. You get up and every day you cook, or prayerfully if you have that privilege, you cook and you eat every day of your life, that becomes wisdom. You're feeding yourself for your body. But I wonder, what is the wisdom for your soul? Are you sold out yet? Sold out. S-O-U-L-E-D. Are you sold out yet? Because if you look around you, every time you look in someone's eyes, you just experienced a piece of that heavenly pie. Because it isn't heaven where God resides, and aren't we all made in the image of God? So doesn't that mean that heaven resides in all of us? So every time, whether it's friend or foe, family or stranger, every time I look in someone's eyes, I've just experienced heaven on earth. Are you sold out yet? Are you ready to let go? And as I'm telling you this, I'm telling myself this. Are you ready to let go of the things that keep you up at night? Are you ready to let go of the worry? Are you ready to let go of your opinions? Are you ready to let go of your doubt? Are you ready to let go of this world stealing your faith? Because right here is heaven. Among us, within us, next to us. Right here is heaven on earth. Thanks be to God.